Welcome to the Making Money in Multifamily Show, where we discuss everything to do with multifamily real estate investing. We believe it's the best way to gain financial freedom and build lasting wealth. This is where you'll find the best information and practices to help you succeed in your real estate business, whether you're already experienced or just starting out. Here's your host, Dave Morja.
Hello, listener, and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Dave Morja, and today's guest is Ira Singer. Ira, welcome.
Thanks, Dave. Nice to be on the show again.
Yeah, and glad to have you back on, and we'll get to that in a second. But for the listener who hasn't seen Ira before, here's a little bit more information about him. He has 25 plus years in construction. He's the principal at Mosaic Construction, where he leads business development, marketing strategy, and business relations. His offices are based out of Chicago, Illinois, Northbrook, Illinois, and Milwaukee, Washington. And like I mentioned, he was a previous guest on the show on episode 14, so check him out there if you like this episode and want to find out more about him. So Ira, welcome back, and just tell us again a little bit more about who you are and what you focus on.
Just want to remind the listeners, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, just so we're not
thinking. Did I say Illinois? Yeah.
No, you said Washington State.
Oh, that's Washington. Far away. My apologies.
That's quite all right. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So we have been, focused on what has been really a hallmark for us over our years, which is adapting and being flexible, because who could have thought we would be smack dab in the middle of this unprecedented crisis going on in the world. And of course, it's impacted our world personally in, our small little area of the Chicago market. So we have been responsive and adapting to navigate the impact of COVID-19, which is our top priority.
Yeah. So obviously, a lot of today's show is going to be kind of how COVID has affected you and your business. So I guess before we get into how COVID's affected your business, can we just kind of explain what projects you had maybe going on before this and what you focus on, and then how it's kind of shifted based on how we're looking today?
Sure. So we have been continuing to work as construction is deemed an essential business. And so we have been fortunate to be able to stay on our projects with our trade partners, and that involves work in the residential sector, in commercial, in multifamily, medical. So we're a smattering all over. These are all value add renovation type of projects. We're working at a day camp, getting a bathhouse ready for delivery at the start of summer, if summer day camp is actually going to happen on time, as it is expected for years past. But regardless, we are working with our clients mostly in vacant spaces. As it turns out, we did not ask them to vacate. They happen to be vacant spaces, as most of them are large-scale projects and would be challenging to work or live through. And so we are actively still working in construction.
Awesome. Yeah. So I guess you mentioned obviously some commercial multifamily. So maybe kind of go into a little bit more about those projects, since it's tailored to this show, what the scope of the project was, and I guess, from business plan start to where we are today.
Well, most of the work that we do in multifamily is on a value add basis. The opportunity exists for both exterior and interior improvements, for unit turns, for common areas, windows and patio doors being replaced, roofing replacement. So we're touching the building envelope. We're touching the interiors, which is where some of the ROI comes in, which we'll certainly talk about. The interesting thing is, regardless of the type of asset we're working on, there are requirements that we are following for COVID-19 to make sure that our job sites are safe, with various PPE, a term that now all of us have familiarity with, from sanitizers to signage, masks, gloves. Those are all things that are good practice to keep a job space clean, are now more of a requirement because of the pandemic.
Yeah. So you mentioned these are existing properties. So has the timeline for any of these projects changed at all as far as lengthening or shortening based on the kind of COVID situation, or how does that look like as far as the project timeline goes?
So we are actively monitoring our project schedules on a weekly basis, where we would typically do a 3-week look ahead. We are doing a 1-week look ahead and making sure that the next trade that is in the queue is in place and ready to work. The interesting thing is for the companies that we are working with that are working, and that is all of them except two that furloughed some of their men to take a pause, one large plumbing contract and one large drywall painting contractor. So the rest of our team is working. Where those trades decided to make a stop based on COVID, we replaced them and communicated that. Impacts of the schedule right now are not being felt. I think similar to what's going on in the broader economy right now, of course, everyone is focused on the loss in the market, but ultimately what that means for companies that don't survive this. So I think the impact of project schedules and the crunch of construction that is still going forward is going to be more compressed and more challenging a month or two or three from now as the ripple effect of COVID-19 has its place in the world.
Yeah, Ira, I tend to agree with you. I mean, most of the funding for projects right now today are have already been cashed, right? So it'll be that lending tightening up and that borrowing that'll kind of dry up in a few months, like you said, that'll kind of see where certain companies shake out. So yeah, couldn't agree more there. Back to your point with the contingent contractors. As a GC, you have, like you said, multiple subs under you. And you said a couple had walked out due to COVID, whatever their situation was, doesn't really matter necessarily, but how do you kind of manage that more from the perspective of an investor, say someone who's managing the property? How do you communicate those kind of issues and how do you, you know, install these contingencies to make sure the project can kind of streamline and be smooth as possible?
So that's an excellent question. As a company that is proactive, we have created policies specific to project management on the site, but we have also been having in pre-construction as we are either moving to contract or we are in contract agreement and moving to pre-construction launch, we are having conversations upfront about the impact of schedule, about the possible changes to the schedule. You know, we are reaching out to our trades saying, are you still operating? Can we still count on you for the ABC project? And to date, again, we've had mostly success, but if this thing continues to have a non-flattening of the curve and the numbers continue to increase, I would think that more and more people are going to have discussions about not going to job sites. You know, some owners that are pulling the trigger on a contract might be like, you know what, we don't know when, you know, if we start and we do demo and then we ultimately get shut down, we don't want to be in a state of disrepair. So there are all these conversations about the impact of COVID for a fluid job, for a future job, for a planning of an acquisition. You cannot ignore the enormity of what this has meant to our industry.
Yeah, so I would say, I guess, pretty much the biggest thing is the uncertainty for these contractors, right? It's not really whether they can do the job properly with these new rules. It's whether it's going to be, you know, kind of worth their while. So that makes sense. And it sounds like you're doing a good job managing that. So I guess on the day-to-day level, assuming all things are going well, kind of what are the changes that you're seeing, you know, with these kind of new preventative measures and, like you mentioned, the PPE, kind of what is the change for some of these subs or whoever you have working on these properties actually on the property? What is going on there exactly?
Well, so if you went to any one of our current job sites, you would see signage and posters that prior to 3 weeks ago didn't exist in, you know, jobs because there was no need. So we have, you know, social distancing drawings where there are people 6 feet apart because we, you know, found that through the various internet searches to print those. We have put multiples all over our projects. We have posters about hand washing. We have PPE on site specific to masks and gloves and sanitizers and wipes. It's just incredible. And we are mostly paying attention not only to our projects from a management of, is the construction going per schedule? Is the assembly going as expected? But we've got a different safety layer within our management team around, are they social distancing? Are there too many people on the site? Is there a safety issue that we need to pay attention to? And if we do, as managers of the project, we bring that up and we let them know that this is, you know, in violation of the laws in Illinois or wherever we're working, you know, regarding social distancing. So yes, all of a sudden, new terms, social distancing, I don't think was, if you Googled social distancing 4 weeks ago, I don't think you would have necessarily gotten what you would get today if you Googled social distancing.
Yeah, if you checked out Google Trends for that, you'd see probably that huge spike like you can see, which would be pretty interesting. And I liked your point about the assembly line, and that's kind of what I wanted to dig at for a second. Really, you know, all in under normal circumstances, you can kind of thread the needle as far as getting a certain contractor in, a certain contractor out, kind of following one behind the other. You know, not everything has to happen at the same time, but they can quickly follow each other. So how have you been creative to kind of work around that to still kind of make sure that everything's lining up to where you need to be?
So we have good fortune in that a lot of the projects we're working on are decent size. You know, the smallest one is probably 4,000 square feet, and they get larger from there. And so depending on what phase of the project we are in, we might have multiple trade disciplines in multiple locations at the same asset. And that is beneficial. It allows the project to continue to move forward. What we don't want to do is we don't want to start something, pull a guy off, and while someone else is in his space, bring him back. So we will be letting a trade work through his rough stage where he might be sharing the space with two other different trade disciplines. Now, because of social distancing and being more conscious about the project, we will separate out the trades as much as possible, which absolutely can have a schedule impact. And so the hallmark of construction and successful construction is good communication and setting those expectations with the client upfront or during, as it's a real time activity. You know, we have a daily update that goes out to our clients that keeps them in the loop. And part of that is COVID. You know, we had these people on, there were this many people on the site, you know, we practiced safe distancing, social distancing. We show pictures of the guys with their PPE on, and that seems to provide a level of understanding and comfort for the client who is watching the project be built through our reporting.
Yeah, that's actually a great point too. So obviously there's a level of detail that goes out in these updates and reports on a normal basis. I'm sure there's some kind of heightened detail, you know, jump based on this, you know, whole COVID preparation and everything.
But there is.
What else other than these normal updates do you kind of give to your clients? Is there more of almost like a, you know, Microsoft project level, you know, critical path? Like how crazy are we getting with these, especially now with these times? Are they super fine tuned with what's going on? Or is it more just like we're on path and here's what's going on?
So the best thing that we do on a daily basis on the project management side is provide a daily client update. And that is a narrative of what took place, who was on site, what's happening tomorrow, with a photo link to what took place that day. And that just adds a tremendous amount of trust to a construction project, because as these are vacant projects, the project manager creating the photo scroll showing the project progressing on a day-to-day basis, having news to the client that the project is progressing successfully on a day-to-day basis. If there are specifically any issues, outstanding RFIs that we still have, outstanding approvals that we still have, we're tracking that on that daily communication with the client until they give us the response. That's the client-facing report. There's obviously an internal project daily log that we are having a deeper level discussion with our project team. The client sees what the client is expecting to see in terms of progress. How we wave the magic wand to make sure everything stays in place, not all of that is in front of the client, because that's part of the success that we have with our trade vendors, supplier vendors, team internally to keep projects moving forward. You know, there's so much that is during construction. The idea that even though there is a slowdown and people taking some time to maybe sit on the sidelines while this thing figures out, there's a bunch of pre-construction work before they ever decide to go hard on an asset that are smart behaviors from you, the owner side, that we can support. So the it's not like everything's come to a stop. There's more of a cautious pause as people are still on, they're still looking to make an investment. What can they do during COVID-19 to not take the deal off the rails? Because there are things that we can help with to steer that project so it continue to move forward. So when this breaks, people have forward motion on acquisition.
Yeah, and you actually kind of segued right into where I was going to go next, talking about so far we've basically been assuming that the client side has been, you know, happy as a clam and, you know, everything's normal and there's no changes to their investment side of the deal. And you kind of obviously went into it for a minute there, but as far as change of expectations from the client side based on, you know, the project and what money's available or whatever situation is going on. So could we get into maybe some more specifics on that kind of that you brushed over that scenario that maybe, certain portion of the project was halted because of funding or because of uncertainty, kind of whatever, and what you've done to kind of communicate with the client on that?
As a construction partner to the multifamily industry, you know, whether it's a smaller singular asset or it's a community asset, regardless of the asset class within the multifamily world, there are still three parts to the renovation process that can start now as you're vetting the asset. You have to build a budget. You have to do that from an operation side. You have to do that from a renovation side, a value add side. What's the constructability of that hoped for spend as you are entertaining the asset, as you are going through your finances on what does each door, you know, cost at this number? How much can you put in where you're keeping your investors and your pro forma making sense? What is the time frame? What's the impact to the asset if you do that? That's all pre-construction. You should know all of these things before you buy, and certainly before you are about to, you know, spend money into an asset. The other piece that is pre-construction is design. You have to spend time figuring out what are the enhancements that you are going to make. And depending on the class of the asset, the kitchen finish design is different. You know, if it's affordable housing versus workforce housing versus class A, the finish level, that takes time to vet, time to budget. The pre-budgeting work that comes with design selection is critically important. Again, so the more you do upfront during this slow time as you're making considerations, as you're doing your due diligence, and frankly, the last one is contractor selection. As much as the owner investment side of the business is looking at things from a, you know, performance, how much am I making on a door? What's the length of time I'm going to hold it? What's our spend when we get it? If we're building something new, what's our all-in investment? Contractor selection to help navigate through the time frame of what that launch is. The alternative options for product. So you say, I want to reside the entire thing because you can pull up and know that it's ugly, but is that vinyl siding versus cement board siding? Is it window replacement hole? Is it window replacement portion where there's only, you know, seal failure on visible glasses as you're just driving the property, considering it? So, you know, a contractor riding shotgun during the pre-construction is a huge value add for any owner operator.
Yeah, and that's well put at the end there. So basically anything related to the consulting and prep work before you close on the deal, that's pretty much your bread and butter, especially now in this time, because you don't have to be, you know, necessarily touching everything. Sure, you might have to visit the property, right? But you can do that pretty safely even through this COVID stuff. So, you know, keeping your distance, all that good stuff. So is there anything, any facet of those kind of three phases before a close that have changed for you guys at all? Or is that should be pretty much just, you know, tried and true, right?
It is, the ability to have conversations just like our phone call, you know, right now is the new business norm. You know, Zoom was not really part of our meeting life. And now both for sales and client meetings and team meetings, because my team is working remotely, we are working through, you know, a platform like this, and we are getting all the phases done with the people who are in shopping mode, due diligence mode. Realize this, that when there's an all clear or there is a safe, you know, announcement that we can start to normalize and go back, think about how much on the sideline activity is all of a sudden going to jump into the pool, and the banks and the appraisers and, you know, all these service companies that touch multifamily are going to be swamped, because now people will start to pull the trigger. So don't you want to get all of the pre-work at least more down the road, so you are ready to be one of the first ones prepared to rejoin and go make a loan application, or go tell your broker you're ready to write a check for a downstroke at the point that there's an all clear, or, you know, more of a safe environment for us to work in.
You keep answering questions before I ask them, my friend. I was going to ask how you're kind of communicating and talking to your clients about if they're pausing this, preparation work in order to complete their job plan. But it sounds like you got it covered right there. So
fair enough. It makes sense to, again, there's all kinds of timelines, and every asset is different. And so some you're buying from, you know, a small family that they've had in their, you know, it's a 20 flat and they've owned it for 30 years and they're finally disposing of it, and you happen to be the guy they're selling it to. That's more of like a diamond in the rough. You talk about more of a large scale asset that is, hundreds of beds in a community or several buildings. Those are being looked at by the market as a broad, you know, they're on a listing that is getting them activity. And so it was a competitive environment for multifamily, and there were deals that were hard to make the numbers work prior to COVID-19. What it looks like when we resume and our prices the same, are things still on the market that were on the market? All those things are to be determined, but the work that goes into making sure you're making a smart decision with your investment does not change from budget figuring to, you know, design finishes and getting your contractor in place. Because as much as the appraisers and loan officers and other service companies that touch multifamily, contractors that have been able to weather this and stay in business, when the floodgates open and everyone is normalizing back to construction, whatever that means in the new normal, having a good contractor available to work with you is probably going to be, you know, the good ones are probably busy, is I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah. And let's touch on that for a second. You mentioned, you know, a good contractor will be able to weather the storm and prepare properly. So obviously you're doing all the correct steps with this COVID preparedness, but what are you doing as far as forward thinking for the next few months? Like, we talk about this possible, you know, impending doom and shift in the market, not doom necessarily, but possibly a change. What are you doing as a general contractor to kind of make sure that you're positioned properly to be able to keep moving forward?
Well, our success is really based on the mosaic actions that we follow within, you know, it's kind of like our compass in the company. And I would say at the top of that is build relationships. It's one of the key mosaic actions. And so we have been checking in with people, not because we're trying to sell them the next project, but we are fortunate to exist in a community where we have a decent amount of visibility. We do a lot of business with people that we know. And so we feel that making sure our relationships are strong and healthy and okay, and letting them know if there's anything they need, we're just thinking about them. You can't imagine. And that's been a reset based on what's happened with COVID. There's more of a slowdown, and people are realizing, you know, quote unquote, what's important, and relationships are certainly that. If we're being successful and making sure that we're taking care of our business to keep what we have in place, to leverage what we have in place, we are focused on sales development. There's been an unbelievable proliferation of seminars and online opportunities to be in a chat room for multifamily, for commercial real estate. We exist in the cannabis sector, so we are, you know, participating in cannabis-related stuff online. And so to stay involved, to stay present, to continue to do outreach to people, check in with projects that you bid that may are likely on hold, but just to let them know that, you know, you're working and you're still there. That helps them, it's a give and take relationship. So I think that's critically important. We're a do it the right way kind of company, and doing it the right way, you know, means that when we're working, we're following rules. When we're working, we're hitting our schedules and our deliverables. We're communicating strongly. Those things are any business's success factors. We put them on the wall and name them the Mosaic Action. So when we communicate and build relationships and anticipate needs and close the loop and contribute to positive environments and do things the right way, those actions will make sure that we continue to be a successful company.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Well put. Really kind of the emphasis for me on that conversation was just the communication, the intention of communication. In this case, we're talking about an investor talking with a contractor, right? But really any kind of relationship, it's synonymous. It's, are you kind of reaching out in this time, or are you kind of, you know, staying quiet? And that kind of shows that maybe you're not ready to weather this. So like yourself, you're ready to continue those communications with your business partners. And that means, at least to me, that you are, you know, taking the right steps. You're ready to weather the storm and you're not afraid to continue your operations day to day because you've built those steps out to be able to do so. So great answer. I think the communication, if you're, you know, continuing through and just talk to who you've been talking to, keep those relationships, even build some more, I think that's perfect. So very well put.
Thank you. Then
Ira, do you have any last comments before we get into the five key questions? I'm pretty much ready for them unless you got something else for me.
So I guess I would just, you know, reiterate the importance of proactive, you know, adaptability, flexibility. Our company has grown significantly in all these different asset classes for remodeling because we continue to stretch and, you know, work our relationships who might be a residential client but owns a law practice and needs a law office conference room built out. Or, you know, we have been very fortunate and strategic in how we have done that. And that doesn't change as a business strategy during a crisis. If anything, it's more important to reach out to those relationships and let them know that we're working. I've got bids that I'm waiting to hear on, letting them know that, you know, if they wanted to move forward, we are experiencing, you know, changes in our workflow due to COVID, and we have put policies in place to make sure that we have safety in mind. So I'll reflect on this in 30 years, God willing. And, you know, do you remember the crisis? And it's going to be talked about for a long time.
Very long time. There are many, many
businesses that have been impacted, many, many individuals and families that have been impacted. And so it's sad, but it's been an awakening, and it's been an opportunity to look at the way we run our business and the relationships that we have to make sure that we're as strong as we think we are.
Awesome stuff, Ira. Yeah. And last but not least, could you just let the listener know how to reach you if they want to reach out?
Sure. So our company website is www.mosaicconstruction.net. That's just to see the kind of work that we do. I am Ira, I-R-A, at mosaicconstruction.net. And if anyone has any questions, I'm available for any type of, you know, just preliminary conversation. I want to help, and anything that I can do to help your listeners, Dave, would be my pleasure.
Yeah, you're always so well voiced on here and love our conversation. So thanks again for coming on, Ira. Really appreciate it. I hope the listener learned a couple things. I did as well. So until next time, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. This has been the Making Money in Multifamily podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or would just like to connect, please feel free to check out the show notes for how you can connect, or visit longviewacquisitions.com.